Welcome to Manager Tools, the Manager Tools Performance Review System, Part 1. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. What's the best way to set up a performance review system? How often should I rate my directs? Who should rate their performance of directs and how? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Folks, performance reviews are part of an organizational system to help your company, your organization, plan succession. Who's ready now? Who's ready next? The best way for you to be a manager who's ready now, who's gotten his or her results and retained your people, is to roll out the Trinity, one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, delegation. Best way to do that, use Roadmap, our new application within our MT app, which is free. Roadmap is available to licensees. Come to the website, check it out.
Well, Mark, there's one thing I know about this topic. Performance review systems are almost universally hated, whatever.
Almost? I think we can dismiss with the almost, right?
Yeah, they are. It's crazy.
Yeah, but as I think we said in a recent series of casts about don't get rid of it, and, you know, getting rid of it is not the solution. Gosh, if we got rid of all the systems that people and organizations don't like, we wouldn't have much of an organization in most cases. So getting rid of it isn't the answer, because it is a necessary system, because somebody who has a strategic view of personnel strengths and weaknesses needs to have information to maintain that knowledge and make smart choices about where people go. I would argue that where people are, where people are put, may be in the top five of the most important decisions that organizations make. And at least that one's organizational, whereas the other one about whom we hire may be the first or second. And I know there are people who would say, but wait, what about strategy? What about products? I'm talking about in 100-year history of a company. One product could make or break a company. But generally speaking, products and systems and so on interchange. But the quality of people can be maintained at a fairly high level.
It's an interesting topic and a little bit unusual for us, given the focus on organizations, right? Generally, we talk to individual managers. And of course, there are some managers called CEOs that are responsible for this stuff, and or VP of HR, et cetera. But this is an organizational cast. So folks, hang in. And don't get discouraged if this is not what your organization does, but it's useful to know.
Right, yeah. But when you're sitting at the table and people are talking about how the system can change, don't let HR dominate the conversation with another online form with all kinds of stuff that managers have to do that never gets back to the managers in a way that helps them continue to develop their people and so on. And people are always asking us for executive tools. Well, when you're an executive, you're responsible for the fiduciary long-term success of the organization. This is one of the key systems that leads into it. This is going to be a long cast. We've got a number of outline topics. I'll just go through them real quick at a high level, especially for you high Ds out there. First thing, all ratings are provided on a one-page form. One-page forms need not include quantitative evaluations. Some people will love that. Some people will hate that. Forms can be completed in legible handwriting. You don't have to type them. Reviews occur annually at a minimum. Reviews occur every time your boss changes. It's called a change of rater event. Reviews also occur if your role changes. That's called a change of role event. The rater's rater, in other words, your boss's boss, someone who would think of you as a skip, regardless of their tenure, reviews all evaluations. On the evaluation administratively, reviewed and non-reviewed periods are captured on the review. When an event occurs that a review is required, annually, change of rate or change of role, the review is due 30 days after any event occurs. Direct sign for receipt of the review. And as we talked about regarding not getting rid of your reviews, we've got to train new managers on their role when they get promoted, so that they know how they feed into the system and they know how important it is. That's the system.
Good. Well, let's get into the details. All ratings provided on a one-page form. I guess that's a good place to start, because that might be the most important change we recommend. That is the simplification of what is the face of the system, the performance review form itself.
Yeah, in a way, we're cheating because we're essentially starting with dessert. right? We're telling managers, look, we're on your side. This is manager tools, by the way. It's not organizational tools. Yeah, the face of the system is the form, and most forms are horrible. I've seen about 30 or 40 of them in the last year or two as I've been thinking about performance review systems and trying to figure out what I didn't know about the state of the art when it comes to performance reviews. And I'll tell you, it took me quite a while to get up the desire to write this because I expected to be surprised by the caliber and the improvement in review systems, which I hadn't really thought. I mean, I think about them off and on all the time, but not really in a deep way. I hadn't done that in probably 5 years, and everything had gotten worse. The wrong things are getting measured. And perhaps most importantly, from my perspective, and I know you and I have talked about it, so your perspective as well, is the likelihood that things are going to change every couple of years. And so there's no systemic data on anything. There's no link between somebody's ability in an area and that ability 5 years ago because the organization is no longer measuring it. We have, with this cast coming out, we've included our recommended form. We've made some administrative changes to it. But at the same time, folks, we're not doctrinaire regarding our form. We don't want to make it rigid because every organization is different. Every organization has its own special needs. And so you can absolutely make changes to it to adapt it to the distinctive culture of your organization. And that'll be available for licensees. The key administrative changes on the one-page form, which we've talked about for years, of course. And if you haven't heard us, I'll just tell you now. The original performance reviews were one page, and that's misleading. They were one paragraph. It was the rater's opinion about the person they were rating. And for the record, it wasn't given to the ratee, to the person who was being evaluated. That's because performance reviews were for the boss to tell the boss's boss, whom should you pick if for some reason I'm not available? So the administrative changes we make are the inclusion of information regarding why the review is happening, talking about the review period and non-reviewed periods, and then also a section for the boss's boss to, you know, who they are and to sign it. And it's important. We'll talk more detail about this, about reviewed and non-reviewed periods, because one of the key parts of this system is we go away from the annual review. Annual reviews typically happen every December or January. Work slows down because everyone gets a review. And you end up with situations where Mike's my boss. He's my boss until October. He's been my boss for, say, 22 months. And he wrote a review last December of me. Or let's say he's only been my boss for 13 months. He writes a review in December of last year for me, which includes 3 months worth of observation. And then this year, he's my boss until November. But then he leaves the role. And so I get a new boss who observes me for a month. So over the course of maybe 2 years, I get basically 4 months of my performance reviewed. And I know many of you would say, well, you know, that's okay because the old guy is supposed to be talking to the new guy. And so there's a transition of information and so on. You know, I get that. I don't see it happen. If it happens 10% of the time, I'd be pleasantly surprised, but still surprised. Okay, continuing on the review itself, on the form. It's been our experience that performance review forms, which is what all of the changes tend to be about when organizations get together to talk about changes, and they don't talk about the system. Review forms that are longer than one page reduce both the quality and the accuracy of input from the manager, while also reducing the attention received about the document by people who are reviewing it, senior people, leadership, HR, reviewers, so on.
Yeah. Well, organizations often want to have as much information as possible from the managers regarding their direct, right? And sometimes they go overboard.
Yeah, they do. And it leads to an enormous burden on managers, and it's absolutely not fair. And when you combine this with organizations not explaining to managers what they do and how they do it, they leave it to directors to tell their managers, oh, yeah, you got to do this, and here's the process, and so on. Yeah, sorry, I should have told you about this before, but look, here's the deadline. That's the entirety, I think, in most cases of the guidance that directors give. And I know many of you are Manager Tools managers. You know that's not the right way. You're not doing it that way. I'm not trying to cast you under the bus, but we're a minority and growing, but we're still a very small minority of managers because most managers in most organizations don't know this stuff. And that's why we're here. There's this enormous burden on managers, and there's other tasks, results-related tasks about, you know, I got my work to do. And it's the end of the year where I have a chance to put one or two projects over the line, maybe. Managers spend less time per page on longer forms. They just do. And then, interestingly, in sort of a Peter Senge moment, that leads to a reduction of HR credibility because it's an important system. HR is known to be responsible for, but managers can get away with not spending a lot of time on it. Managers know that, yes, if they have 10 or 15 directs, they should look at everyone and where they lay in the quantitative rankings and so on, but they don't. And as I said before, all of this is exacerbated by the fact it's all due in December. And all of that, combined with the fact that a lot of the data managers absolutely must provide, isn't used effectively by HR. And that's not a ding on HR. We're asking for too much. We're not using them in discussions. Or if HR is using these in discussions and talking to senior leadership, managers aren't hearing about that and don't know how the system is being used. And there's a great deal of communication that needs to happen. And if you want managers to start getting excited about things, making your form one page and getting back to the basics of what he or she did good or did poorly and what the next year looks like and so on is a better way to go.
Yeah. And HR should get excited about this. And we know managers are, right? One form versus a multi-page form. But HR, I think, would get excited as well. They're going to have a lot less trouble getting managers and senior raters to complete their reviews on time if it's only one page.
Yeah. And they'll have to check less. There won't be as much to go through, right? Now, and so internal processing time will be better. Now, many HR people say, well, actually, we don't check it. It's all online and so on. Yeah, I know. That worries me, guys. And I'm not against online stuff, obviously. And I don't know enough managers who have a really great relationship with their HR business partner. Part of that is because HR business partners have too big a purview these days in terms of the number of managers they're responsible for. And so there's not a dialogue about people. And I don't think that an HR business partner with 50 or 60 managers is going to look at all their reviews and go over them and say, how does this feel? How does this look? What does the VP think of this? And so on. So further, it's been our experience that the longer the form is, the more there are key areas, you know, critical areas, things that are important or that relate to some annual initiative that we're going on or something. And that means, right, the manager's got to complete the entire document, but those areas that are not key will not be used sufficiently to justify the expense of the manager doing the whole thing. I mean, think about it. I mean, this is what we get. And Mike, you'll laugh when I say this because you'll think back to performance reviews in the Army. Ask yourself, folks, right now, whether in your organization there are one or two or three spots on your review on which everyone focuses. They're the thing that everybody wants to talk about. They're the distillation of the review. For Mike and I, it was senior rater review, right? Senior rater and his or her profile.
Right.
Folks, you needed what number? You needed a top block. I mean, it was top block.
Of course.
People would say, what'd you get? That's a top block, right? So much so that the Army then had to go back and say, yeah, everybody can't be in the top block. And the problem with that is if there are one or two or three areas that are really important, every other area on the review is ignored, but the manager still has to fill it out. You're not going to have a great system if the creator of the data for the system essentially doesn't feel that their work is valid across the entire system. They're not. It's waste. It's not going to work.
For folks who don't understand what the system is, it basically forced a kind of a standard distribution of the senior raters, you know, ratees, right?
Yep.
So you were either in the, I think the top block was, I don't know what, top 2% or something like that. And then the level below that, a 2, if you will, was what, probably the top 20%, something like that, or 15%, something like that, and so on down. So, and I remember one time I didn't get a top block, and I just now realized why. Because you took it.
Oh, I feel terrible.
That's probably what happened. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't like you, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell. But, and then it gets worse. One of the most compelling reasons for the one-page form is that under our system, employees are going to get reviewed more often. And we're going to talk about that. If you have a fast-paced, changing world, I just read a series of articles about Jeff Immelt leaving GE and what he did and so on. And he talks about change every 3 months. We're going to review people once a year on an annual basis. That's an outdated system. So if you're going to have more reviews more often, no one would argue that talent development and retention is huge. We can't allow the primary talent development and retention system to be based on an annual timeline when everybody talks about the world getting shorter and faster and quicker and, you know, zip, zap, zoom. If that's the case, I know what people are thinking. Well, we can't put this 5-page form on manager's lap 2 or 3 times a year. No, you can't. So change the form. It's 1 page. So more reviews by more managers give us a better sense of each employee's value. But if those more reviews are long and tedious, it won't mix. It won't work. So we have to change.
Okay. So I'm all on board with the 1-page thing. No arguments from me. Now, our next point, you know, folks, if you don't know by now, I'm high D, high C. We talk about DISC often, but I'm going to focus on the C part, which is kind of detail-oriented. I like numbers, dot the I's, cross the T's, and I like quantitative things. I like numbers.
I do too.
Okay, then why this idea that one-page forms need not include quantitative evaluations? Like, come on. The whole world boils down to ones and zeros. What are you saying here?
Well, as strongly as we feel about things here at Manager Tools, you notice it says need not include. It does not say no quantitative evaluations. There are plenty of companies who will say, yeah, Mark and Mike, they're crazy. We're going to evaluate things quantitatively. And I like quantitative evaluations as well. But it's been my experience, and no, I've not done any rigorous research on this, and I encourage people who feel differently. I'd love to hear somebody who's been a long time career in somewhere in the talent field in large organizations, HR or something like that. There's a great blog out there that's worth reading called The Evil HR Lady, who I've never met, but I think highly of her work. And she basically says, she answers questions the way HR people should about, you know, protecting the company and not always taking the employee side and so on. She's great. And I'd be happy to talk to somebody like that about, okay, what's your experience? What have you seen when it comes to quantitative? But in the same way that you and I were just talking about top block reviews from senior raters, when you use quantitative evaluations, they suck up a great deal more of the energy and they tend to be misleading and they become politicized. Now, we're not doctrinaire regarding the form. Our form is 1 page. But basically, and we'll talk more about it, the quantitative rankings rarely achieve their purpose. I've probably looked at tens of thousands of reviews from hundreds of employers over the years, sitting in meetings and reviewing people's histories and trying to help them decide where they're going to go and so on. And I have to tell you, the overwhelming impression one gets of trying to help somebody change jobs, asking to see not just their resume, but their performance reviews, is performance reviews are crap. They are overinflated. They capture the wrong data. You can very quickly, even if you don't know the company, review the system and know which parts are important and which ones aren't. Quantitative rankings become politically sensitized. They're inflated. They're inaccurate. Well, I'll put it differently. Managers are loath to give anyone less than 5 on a Likert scale, which is the classic 1 to 5 scale, which has a lot of research around it in terms of means and medians and so on. Okay. And you mentioned it about top blocks, right? Even in the Army, when commanders were given orders to accurately reflect officer relative performance, thousands of colonels and generals, I mean, these are senior people that can retire if they want to, ranked something like 75% of their officers in the top 10%. It's ludicrous. And to use your example, Mike, I got the top block. And you didn't, but in the long run, you were a better officer from the Army than I was. right?
Well, we're not going to argue that. I'll take it, but we could argue that.
Yeah. It's been our experience that if you put quantitative evaluations on reviews, inflation will get so bad that only a nearly failing employee on the way out in a performance improvement, a PIP, you know, kind of thing, on a plan, it's just a matter of time before they're gone, only that person will get a notably bad review. And if on a 1 to 5 scale, you don't have to give them a 2. A 3 will do it. Now, there are places where, you know, we have a 5-point scale and you must have half your people with a 3. But then that tends to break down at smaller sizes, because if you only have a sample size of 4, there's no way you can apply a bell curve to a sample size of 4 on a scale of 1 to 5. The math just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of crazy things. I'll tell you that other than that one time, I only didn't get a top block 2 times. One was my first year, and I think you got it as a lieutenant, right?
Yeah.
And the last time was when I got out.
Oh, of course. They used you.
Right, exactly. The commander has, you know, has only so many top blocks to give out. So what does he do? Well, you're leaving. I'm not going to waste a top block on you. And there you go.
Yeah. And think about that. I mean, I've asked for people's reviews before, and they said, well, I didn't get one when I left. And there are a lot of people who you can tell in their voice, they don't want to have gotten one when they left, because they left in the middle of the year and it wasn't time for a review. And there was nowhere to capture their 2 or 3 or 6 months, last 6 months in the organization. And yet with boomerangs and so on, you'd want that. And there are people who, when I ask for them, they're like, you could tell they're glad that they didn't get one for the last one, because their boss would have used them to round out their ranking system.
Yeah.
And quantitative rankings are rarely used, partially because of politicization, partially because of inflation, sensitization, and so on. They're rarely used for what they're intended for. There are really 2 purposes historically. One is group means and norms and trends for the organization and for sub-organizations too. And then individual comparisons to those norms. In our experience, in most organizations, those purposes are rarely used. And even then, they're not used well. When a quantitative ranking is analyzed and normed for the organization, year-over-year comparisons can be made, along with comparisons across sub-organizations. Unfortunately, there's so many reorgs so often that those things get messed up. But the system is built without consideration of the kinds of reorgs and changes and so on that happen. Inflation makes the norms unreliable. Using data to provide comparison increases the likelihood of inflation. If managers know that your people are going to be compared to an unknown, uncommunicated target that's decided at corporate, they're going to push to have control back of the system by inflating and saying, yeah, I did it. And HR gets frustrated and the system doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And quantitative data can only be normed, can only be used in a comparative way with any confidence when the system and the form don't change.
Of course, we know it changes all the time.
Yeah, it changes. And look, I'm not saying that the changes aren't well-intentioned. You know, let's measure what we want. And what measures do we have organization-wide that are better than performance reviews, right? So, great. But you change the quantitative data set and much of the longitudinal data you gather becomes moot. And managers know that. And managers know there's a different hot spot on every review when the review changes. In fact, I've sat in meetings where managers are being briefed about performance reviews. And I lost on an internal, when I was a consultant, trying to get the organization to simplify things. And they managers are like, oh, this is the thing. This thing here on page 3. That's going to be the one that makes the difference. And then you hear HR, the person briefing, saying, now, I know you all are going to say that thing on page 3, at the bottom of page 3 is really what's important. And you're probably right. But hey, there's other things that we need to gather data on, too. We're trying to keep track of this and this and this and this and this and this and this. I would argue that HR has had an impossible job. They've been doing the best they can. And the solution for a lot of things we want to capture today is best done online with some of these flash and pulse polls and so on, rather than loading up the talent management and succession planning core document, performance reviews, with all kinds of quantitative data. So most managers, most experienced managers realize that all the stuff we just talked about wreck the usefulness of the system. They realize that, you know, most succession planning and compensation decisions are made in small batches by execs who are attempting to get what they want for who they want, rather than satisfy a particular corporate bell curve. And organizations have things happen to them not in planful ways, and they have to make decisions on the fly, and the reviews aren't brought together, or the HR business partner doesn't say, no, let's not decide yet. Let's sit down 45 minutes. I'll provide everybody with the raw data. We'll talk about the candidates, right? And I'll tell you something else. The system is broken enough that it's contributing to women not getting ahead. And I would argue people of color as well. And the reason why is because we've got all this data, and we're not taking the time to sit down in succession planning discussions and say, look how good this person is. She's good. She's better than the guy you want. And this is what happens. This is why in the middle layers of organizations that suddenly really impressive women start to slow relative to their male peers because of essentially an organizational or systemically influenced or induced bias whereby some male says, I want this guy. And this person is senior enough that they can get that, rather than somebody coming to the table says, no, you can't do that. That's not the way it works. I won't sign off on that. We're going to have to look. Let's look at performance reviews. This guy's good, but she's better. She's a lot better. And she's been reviewed by 3 or 4 different managers, male and female. And you need to give her a look. And then if HR doesn't get the right answer from that person who's making the succession planning decision, HR escalates and goes to the senior VP rather than just the VP. And I'll tell you something else, Mike. These things aren't popular to say, but this is what's happening. And these decisions are best influenced not by writing a huge, long review, which most managers know won't make that much of a difference, but by lobbying the necessary executives, log rolling with friends, you know, doing favors for people who have influence, and preparing really hard for the steel cage deathmatch meeting you're going to have about who's going to get picked. So the system we have now across most organizations is broken, and we need to fix it.
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm sitting here feeling sad because of the number of folks negatively impacted by all that. It's
exactly right. It's a waste. It's human waste. It's why engagement became popular. Yeah, I feel disengaged. Succession planning, talent management, the performance review system contributes to disengagement. One of the reasons people like professional sports is that they know the score is fair. The rules are applied fairly. There's some human mistakes in there, but in the long run, it's fair. Okay? They don't believe that about their performance review systems. They believe the system is incomplete, it's clumsy, it's annual when it should be much more frequent. It essentially, you know, I hate to say it, but it allows for institutional bias to occur, and that's not good because talent exists across all people. And we need more talent from more people. And the system isn't helping us do that.
Yeah, folks, if you're relatively new in management and you haven't yet have had the experience of sitting down with somebody after a 20, 25-year career in your company, knowing how talented they are and what they're capable of, and seeing the light in their eyes dim a little because they didn't achieve what they could because of a poor system, It's heartbreaking. And folks, that's why we got to get good at this. That's why we have to care about being a great manager. So you don't have to sit, you know, 20 years from now and listen to those kind of stories. It really is heartbreaking.
Yeah. And the worst part is the best of those people who have gotten not treated well by the system leave. And then we've invested 20 years of effort and we don't get the last full measure of goodness out of them. Yeah, it's our fault. We got to change it.
No doubt. All right. Well, hate ending a podcast on a downer like that.
Yeah. But
the upper is, hey, we can make a difference, right? We can change the world by getting good at this stuff. So let's continue getting good next week.
We will.
All right, my friend. We'll see you. Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll continue on this topic next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.